I love that song, don't you? How many of you as a child were fortunate enough to sit at your mother or father's feet and hear the story of the gospel? I remember when I was a little girl that was one of the favorite things to talk about in our family. And I especially remember when my mother and my grandmother and my aunts and uncles would get together. And it was so wonderful to sit around and hear them talk about the old, old story. So tonight I want to sing one of my favorite songs. And that is number 245, Count the Old, Old Story.
I will take the blessed light of the gospel there. I'll be born. Well, I can't tell you how grateful and pleased I am to be here tonight and speaking to you. I really appreciate the opportunity that you have afforded me to speak upon this this topic. Where would you go if you had no home? And what would you do if everything you had was gone? In a matter of 5 minutes, a city of 50,000 people lost 150 lives with 1,100 injured. They lost 7,000 households, 4,000 homes, businesses, 300. 4,000 jobs were lost or affected. 5 public schools destroyed. When a mild, wide multi-vortex tornado ripped through Joplin's midsection. Within 2 days of the news, Troop 216 from South Christopher Restoration Branch and Shelly Schmidt's Creation Girls Group were creating a volunteer caravan to Joplin. They were on their way June 3rd, less than 2 weeks after the tornado struck. A total of 40 people were involved. Saints from Zion in that first volunteer drive. And I'm going to introduce, I'm going to have Ruthann Norman speak a little bit about her experience that we had down there. She was part of the girls group that went down. And Haley, I'd like for you to stand because you were part of that group as well, weren't you? Stand and raise your hand, okay? She was part of the group that we had. So, Ruthann, come on up and share your experience.
I got the opportunity to share a few times now about this experience. And there's just such a great magnitude about everything about this this storm and this situation that I keep thinking that it's going to get easier to talk about and to share, and it doesn't. And it is indeed a life-changing experience. It's a humbling experience. But yet it's a joyous experience because it's an excellent opportunity to serve. Joplin still needs us. There are 2,000 to 3,000 volunteers that show up at Missouri Southern every day. Roughly, I think that's the number. And that's amazing. That's amazing. You won't see anything like that in the world. To have that go into that area here in Missouri. And yet they are still in need of help. When Haley and I got there, there were, you know, just like the pictures you've seen on the news, there's just nothing that explains, unless you've got boots on the ground there, what you're standing in the middle of. Cindy Horn and I, she was the driver in my car, and we just kept looking at all, saying, how are they ever going to get this cleaned up? And they've done an amazing job. I understand now that a lot of the debris is cleaned up. However, there are areas that they've not even been able to touch, that they haven't been able to get to. And even in the areas that have been cleaned, it's just wasteland. It's barren now where there was a living, productive city. And neighborhoods, and we drove through neighborhood after neighborhood of homes and families out trying to get their things cleaned up, and you know the story. But, and you've seen it a million times. Muriel asked me to share what I got out of it. And just in a nutshell, a life-changing experience. It's one that I can't describe other than Dan and I and our children have been in the mission field. We've lived outside of the United States where things are pretty nice. And it's great if any of you get the opportunity, any of you parents get the opportunity to be able to take your kids to see places that is not as nice as the United States. It gives them a different perspective of what they have and what others don't. And since that opportunity is not afforded everyone, Joplin is a great place to try to have them experience that. It's not that far from here. It can be arranged and it could be made, and you can even go down there and like we did and work for a day and come back. And where we worked was the Salvation Army, and they were, I am convinced that is exactly where the Lord wanted us to be that day. And if you decide to go to hell, it will be anointed, and the Lord will put you where you need to be that day, or weekend, or however long you're there. But the workers are overwhelmed. The workers at the Salvation Army are overwhelmed, and many, many others. They've been there for the duration, and I could go on and on, but time is. It's brief, but Haley, as we're driving through, she was one of the girls in our car, and she was looking, and I just hear her say from the back seat, "Mom, it looks like these people just went through a giant blender." And that's a pretty good description. And really, for only 150 people dying from the destruction that we saw, that's a lot of people, but that really is a miracle compared to the destruction that we saw. So the Lord's hand was upon many of them. But 2 weeks after the tornado, they couldn't even think for themselves. They were still in shock. We were having to think for them when they came in to the Salvation Army, because you ask them, some of the workers were asking them, "What do you need?" "Well, what don't they need?" So they couldn't think to tell you what they needed. They, how about everything, you know? So the girls and the guys, I mean, they were coming in, some of them without shirts, many of them borrowed clothing, and we were literally putting clothing on them when they came in and finding them clothes. Moms would come in with little goodies, and our girls would help with the children so they could come, go through and see what they needed for clothing. And it was a great experience for them, and a life-changing experience for them. And you know, Joplin does need us, but we need Joplin. This is a good place to practice, if you will, Zionic service and sharing the gospel. They're homeless now, many without vehicles, without jobs, because even if they had, their home wasn't destroyed, many times their job was, where they worked was. All of this are good opportunities to share the gospel and hope of Jesus Christ. So, that's it, and I'll turn it back over to Muriel.
Well, I don't have to sit here and read what I was doing while I wrote for this, because Ruth Ann did an excellent, marvelous job of explaining some of the same thoughts that I have had in this. I will say this, that I'll tell you an experience that I had just this last week. My daughter Jenna,
has a friend who had been wanting to go down to Joplin, a schoolmate, and we arranged to leave tomorrow morning to go down. And I made contact with a relief group down there and found out that there was a need for lunch boxes and kindergarten mats. They would like to have 40 lunch boxes. That'd be great if we could do that. And mats for kindergarten kids. They have Irving School. We went by there a week or so ago when we were coming through. Irving School was just demolished. We looked at the playground equipment outside, and it was just twisted. And that school is still intact, but they are going to be in the Washington Education Center. And so they're outfitting an old school for that. And Relief Spark is a grassroots effort out of California that organized 6 years ago to help the Katrina victims and survivors. And they raised $3 million out in California and took that money and helped Katrina. And they're still working. And they have a presence. They have a base camp in Joplin now, and marvelous group from what I can tell. But last week, Jen and I planned a trip to Joplin, and all was a go until yesterday afternoon. And my two friends from my book club had to back out because of other prior commitments that they didn't know about, and Caitlin wasn't able to go either. And so because of that, at that point, and also, last week I put out a call through Garland Schnack's email distribution list for needs for the lunch boxes and mats. And until yesterday afternoon, I'd only gotten one response. And that was from a man who had 20 desks to donate and wanted to know how to contact. So I happily gave him the contact information. But that didn't serve our needs. And so, so with the response that I had received, which was rather disheartening, at first I thought perhaps the time was not right for this effort among our people, and I canceled the trip because Jen and I were the only ones going. At bedtime, I put the matter before the Lord and made it a matter of fasting and prayer this morning, and this morning the Spirit spoke, saying that I was to follow through with this mission, and the Lord would fill the van with volunteers, lunch boxes, and mats. Then in my mind, I thought with hope that there might be more vans than just one. I thought it would be great to have three vans. And the Spirit said, why only three? I had a number of groups I could touch, and I would ask my own church family, and I knew I would be making a plea here tonight. It is very short notice, but we're leaving tomorrow morning. And my heart leapt within me when I announced my trip to Joplin at Living Hope this morning, where I attend. By the time I got home from church, four women had volunteered to go with us, and I had enough funds to cover the lunch boxes, mats, and more, plus gas money. The more people who go, the sooner, greater, and more lasting the Joplin effect, as I call it, will have upon Zion. And perhaps it will be the beginning of a long-term commitment of Zion to Joplin's recovery. This is an opportunity, especially for the Daughters of Zion, to organize an inter-restoration fellowship of volunteers from all factions to work side by side to fill this great need. This is just the beginning, I feel. There will be larger projects in Joplin, if we can imagine them, but they're coming. I believe Joplin is only a training ground for greater work that will come our way very soon in the land of Zion. Besides providing temporal help, Zion should have prayer warrior saints on the ground in Joplin, walking the streets, praying for angels to watch over and assist all of the recovery work being done by so many. And that the replacement homes and businesses that the Lord has already created and stored in heaven will be called down and the waste places built up. We need intercessors for the people of Joplin who have sustained enormous trauma, that their spiritual injury and loss will be softened by the love and caring of the saints. And there's confirmation in this that I was given last week in the Word, and that's Isaiah 58. And I would like to read that in closing. Isaiah 58, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Zion is as Zion does. And this is what the Lord promises will happen when Zion responds to the fast. And this is what spoke to me and was such a blessing to me. This is not one of the clouds over Zion, but it ought to be. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be your rearward. Then you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity, and your darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide you continually. He will satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of you shall build up the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. To me, that's what that and the gathering, the identifying and the gathering of this Israel, are the two main mandates that God has for his people to do. And as Ruth Ann said, Joplin needs us, but we need Joplin. We need to be Zion. And this is a place where every single one of us, it's 2.5 hour drive away. You can go down 2.5 hours, put in an 8 hour day, and be back in bedtime, a decent bedtime. So I would like to propose, I have a sheet, if you like an email address. This is a project that is going to happen. And I would like for you to pray and ask the Lord. And if you have a passion for this, if you want to be a part of this and join these young people in this work, then I just encourage you so much to do it and to be a part of it. As she said, it is a life changer.
Muriel.
Yes.
Would you like to give your full number for anybody who'd like to contact you?
Yes. My phone number. My home phone number is 254-816-254-8456, and my cell phone number is 726, same area code, 8425.
You better repeat it.
726-8425 is my cell phone number, and 254-8456 is our home phone. I do have a sheet that I'll have that I can put your name down if you are interested. If you're nothing more than you can pray, then pray from here. But I beg you, go to Joplin, walk the streets, and pray, and stand on one of those empty platforms that used to be a house, and ask yourself, what would I do if I lost everything? Where would I go if I had no home? And we need to be there for our sake as well as Joplin's sake. So I appreciate so much your letting me come. I'm sorry that we went over, But I'll have my sheet ready if you want information, and I can take your email address, your phone number, and I'll stay in touch with you and let you know what else we're going to be doing and how soon.
I would like to introduce the men that are on the rostrum with me. To my left is Elder Dan Shears. We'll have the invocation from Saints Haven. And all of you know, 70 Steve DeVere will bring in the message of the hour from Saints Haven. And to my right is Priest Richard Adams will bring the benediction and the offertory. And my name is Clarence Herning. I'm an elder in Saints Haven. You know, we've been so blessed this summer here at the district summer series. I don't know how many of you have attended series before, but we've been blessed here with God's Spirit to minister to each and every one of us, and He has touched the intelligence and the of the men that have brought the message this summer to us. I've been thrilled. I think I missed only one out of the 10 that we've had this year. And I thought it was kind of unique. We started off this series June the 12th with Gary Metzger. And everybody knows that Gary was a convert to come from Wichita State University. And as we end the series, August the 14th, Steve DeVere is a 70 also, and I think he was converted as a young man too. So if the heritage is not there of being from generation to generation to generation. And I thought it was kind of unique. We started with Gary and ending with Steve. And we have a little bit different perspective probably than you that are born in the church. I was converted at 17 or 18 years old through this book right here, the Book of Mormon. And I want to welcome each and every one of you this Sabbath evening to the Lord's house, that you might be ministered to by His Spirit and the words that will be spoken. I have chosen for a scripture reading out of Alma, the 5th chapter. And you know, I thought it was kind of unique. I was given this responsibility to preside because the other fellow wasn't going to be here, and he called me if I could preside. And I don't usually do this, but I said, well, I would take that responsibility of presiding. And he said, well, you pick out the scripture reading. Well, so I went, this was about 8 o'clock evening. I usually sit outside and enjoy the breeze, if there is a breeze, but some of this 105 degrees haven't been a breeze. But I was outside, and I went in, and I opened up my Book of Mormon. I just opened it up. And this is where it stopped, where it fell open to. And it was a scripture that I think is pertinent to our time as well as it was the Gideon time. This is a sermon or counsel that Alma gave to the people of Gideon. And you know, he had just give up the judgment seat and went on a missionary trip. And I would like to read from the 5th chapter of Alma for our call to worship, the 39th through the 41st verse, I think. And I think this fits us just as well as it fit them. I think the time is perfect. And now I would that you should be humble and submissive and gentle and easy to entreat, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. Ask for whatsoever thing you stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever thing you do receive. See that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you shall always abound in good works. We take those words to heart. We would please our Heavenly Father. Shall we open our service with hymn 236. 236.
Almighty and eternal Father, Father, as we join our hearts, we have this opportunity to come before Thee, even as a group of Thy people, and to worship Thee, and to praise Thee, and to share one with another, and above all, to sit under the ministry of Thy Spirit. And Father, this night, we are blessed to have Brother DeVera with us to share his message that he has pondered upon. And Father, we know that he has traveled throughout Thy creation. He has walked, he has flown in planes, he's even ridden his motorcycle to bring ministry to Thy people and to those that are searching for the gospel. And may that same Spirit that has attained him and blessed him, bless him even this night, that we as a group of Thy people in the center place might taste but a small portion of that Spirit that has blessed him physically and spiritually. And Father, even those angels that have attended him, may they be present with us this night, that truly we may be blessed and be filled even with a greater responsibility of the calling we have of being members of Thy church, even in this part of Thy vineyard. So, Father, may those things done this night bring praise and glory unto Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Several weeks ago, I had some stuff kind of prepared as Clarence asked me to do the altar prayer back there. After that testimony, some things, the Lord shared some more things upon my heart to share. Dan, several weeks ago, talked about when our church was broken into several years ago at Atherton. And I just can't imagine it. Coming in and finding it in disarray, I can't imagine a church being gone completely. You know, we found the church in a lot of different predicaments. Being a deacon over the years, sewer backed up, water pipe broke. A lot of different things that you can fix. And when you come in and find pews stacked on top of one another, it tears your heart out. And to think about it all being gone, not only your home, but your church home. And it never stopped us from having services, though. It was a challenge. And the insurance company said, you wait for adjusters to come out. And thank goodness we had a good agent that come out and took pictures and said, go ahead. And we cleaned it up ourselves. So most of the saints wouldn't have to see the disarray. And I'm thankful for that. And so when we got into this other building, we call it Church Home now, St. Haven. Very peaceful place. And I'm thankful for that building. But I, too, lift my prayers to Jehovah. Would you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful to have your gospel and have your people gather this night and have a cool place to meet into that we can continue to live this soft life where so many others don't have that. Father, I ask that you bless these people in the part they give up this night. May you continue to bless us and guide and direct us. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I read the scripture, I just want to state my normal disclaimer, just so that you've got it in your mind as we go through the evening. Any scripture that I read, I'll read from the inspired version of the Holy Scriptures, the 1908 authorized version of the Book of Mormon, and the Doctrine and Covenants, as much as I believe it to be the Word of God. One of the most difficult things at times is to bring a scripture lesson, and I'd like to read from two sections. I'd like to read from section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'll be reading also from section 81 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world. And all this, that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophets, the weak things of the world should come forth, and break down the mighty and strong ones, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that faith also might increase in the earth, that my everlasting covenant might be established. For I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. I am no respecter of persons, and will that all men shall know that the day speedily cometh. The hour is not yet, but is nigh at hand, when peace shall be taken from the earth, and the devil shall have power over his own dominion. Search the commandments, for they are true and faithful, and the prophecies and promises which are in them shall be fulfilled. Beware from henceforth, and refrain from sin, lest sore judgments fall upon your heads. For unto whom much is given, much is required. And he who sins against the greater light shall receive the greater condemnation. Watch, for the adversary spreadeth his dominions, and darkness reigneth, and the anger of God kindleth against the inhabitants of the earth, and none doeth good, for all have gone out of the way. And again I say unto you, I give unto you a new commandment, that you may understand my will concerning you, and in other words, I give unto you directions how you may act before me, that I may turn to you, it may turn to you for your salvation. I, the Lord, am bound when we do what I say. But when we do not what I say, you have no promise.
Today, a band is somewhere proclaiming the good news.
It's always a pleasure to hear music like that. It stimulates my soul. It makes my heart start to go, and I get all excited. And when there's silence afterwards, I feel funny. So I thought I'd just at least let them know I like it. I've got a lot to share, but I only have about 15 minutes. So we're going to go real fast. And if I go faster than you can hear, raise your hand. And we'll get a tape for you for afterwards. I was privileged, more than you'll ever know, to attend a reunion this year up in Maine. And when I was getting ready to leave, I told the people, you know, in the last couple of years, I've heard services in Hindi, I've heard them in